much, Brother Dave. Please turn in your Bibles this evening to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And before I read there, just a couple of advertisements, if you don't mind. Last time I was here, I introduced you to my book, He Touched Me. I brought about 15 copies on the back table. If you're interested, it is available. The price at Gospel Folio Press is $10.99. They're available for $10. No shipping, no handling, no tax, no nothing. Except, I hope, the enjoyment of reading seven different times when the Lord Jesus touched someone. And each time is instructive for all of us. Some of you may have picked up a copy of this last time I was here. But if not, this would be a good opportunity to do so. One other thing I did put on the back table, I'll just leave them out while I'm here, and that's a brochure for an upcoming trip to Israel. This will be trip number 6, I believe, where we're going to go straight from Charlotte, Philadelphia, on U.S. Airways, straight into Tel Aviv. It's a trip that takes 12 days in all. If you've been to Israel, you know what a blessing it is. Someone said, I used to read my Bible in black and white, but after going to Israel, now I read it in color. And it's true. It really gives so much insight to the Word of God and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. We always take a small group, and we're glad for that. Last time we were there, I believe it was Woodrow Kroll from Back to the Bible, following the same route we were on, but he had about 165 people. In our little group, we had about 22 of us, and they said, he's got a bigger group than we do. I said, yeah, but that's a good thing. And they said, what do you mean? I said, watch when we get into the dining room. And they're still serving their plates while we're already finished eating and starting to fellowship and share back and forth about the things we saw that day that affect our lives forever. My neighbors went with Chuck Swindoll. I said, how many did he have? 750. If you've been to Israel, can you imagine? 19 buses on one group. Listen, give me a small group any day and walk the steeps and the vales through Israel. It'll change your life forever. And I know. I talk to some people. They say, I'm going to wait till the Lord comes and then I'll see it. It won't be the same. We can see it historically and see how it comes to life. And then we'll see it when the Lord comes as well. And look at the change that will take place. Now, if you're interested, please let me know. If not, you pray for us as we go. In the Word of God, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, just two verses to start with, and I'll introduce the title of the message is going to be Simon Peter's Seven Downward Steps. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned, or when you are restored to me, strengthen your brethren. And we trust that the Lord will take these two verses and all the rest of the verses we're going to look at tonight and use them in our lives to help us to walk close to the Lord. Let's pray once more. Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, we thank and praise you for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has gone ahead of us, and we follow his path home to glory. Help us to learn the lessons through the life of your servant, Simon Peter, the downward trend that he took, and help us to learn to walk the upward way and to walk close with you day by day. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I wonder how many have made resolutions for this year. We went out to eat today, and we were trying to decide what we should order off the menu. I said, surely we're far enough into 2013 that it doesn't matter, does it? Maybe you made a resolution for a different diet. How's it going so far? Or maybe an exercise plan. I'm going to start one too tomorrow. Or maybe you've determined I'm going to follow the Lord with a whole heart. Now, that would be a serious and a good resolution to make. But as you do, the Lord has laid on my heart one of my favorite portions and messages to give as a warning from the life of Simon Peter. I've studied his life for a number of years now, and I've noticed there are so many wonderful lessons you can learn just by watching his life and his ministry, the interactions and intersections in the life of the Lord Jesus that Simon Peter had, so that we can gain all the benefit without any of the embarrassment of it happening to us. And so we trust that as we look at Simon Peter taking seven steps downward, that we'll watch for the pitfalls in the Christian walk and life. As we follow the Lord, there are danger places along the way. And when you see someone fall, you can learn the lessons from his life. And Simon Peter is quite an example to learn from, as we always say. Now, we've read Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. It really is a prophecy. The Lord Jesus saying, you're going to stumble. Satan has asked that he might have you to sift you as wheat. It's also a prayer, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And it's a promise. When you are restored, strengthen the brethren. And so we see how Simon Peter took these things to his heart. It takes a little while to process, but we too can claim these very things. The Lord will give us a promise that he's praying for us, and a promise that he can still use us even when we fall. Let's go back to the Gospel of Mark and take it step by step. Mark chapter 14 gives us, as well as Luke and Matthew, gives us really a step-by-step account on Simon Peter's downward trend. And he starts with step number one. We'll pick up in Mark chapter 14, verse 26. And there we read the same point in time when the Lord Jesus, where we read in the Gospel of Luke, had warned the disciples, and in particular, Simon Peter. It tells us in Mark chapter 14, verse 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They're on their way to Gethsemane. And on the way we read in verse 27, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Step number one, verse 29. But Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. And that's where he made his big mistake. Read on in verses 30 and 31. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he, this is Simon Peter, spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And don't miss the last sentence. And they all said likewise. Simon Peter, step number one, was boasting when he should have been listening. It was an excellent song our brother Stephen gave us, especially the last line concerning boasting. As the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should boast or glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. But when it comes to boasting, pride, we have to remember pride is the first sin and the worst sin. Not only that, but it's contagious. We all share in that, don't we? Just the pride of the flesh, it gets in there, even when we don't expect it. Simon Peter, standing in his own strength, said, I'll never deny you, even if I have to die. That was a pretty bold statement. Well, he looked dead not too long after that, but he was only asleep. You realize, whenever we boast in our own strength, as the Apostle Paul warned, anyone who thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he also fall. For pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so Simon Peter, taking this first step, he thought it was a step up. I'll never deny you. It'll never happen to me. But it was really his first step down. If you want to avoid a complete downfall of these seven steps downward, the best way is to step off at step number one and to say, let me take a careful examination, not only of the characters through the Word of God, but the very principles that happen in the Word of God. That whenever I'm exalting myself with pride, What was it? One brother told me, he said, there are four kinds of pride. Pride of lace, what we have. Pride of face, what we look like. Pride of race, who we think we are. And pride of grace. And that's the most dangerous one. Simon Peter had to realize the only way any of us can stand is if the Lord causes us to stand. And Simon Peter, he forgot that. And it was an inopportune time when the Lord Jesus had just told him, you're going to fall. And he said, not me. Never. I told you pride is contagious. Look what happened to the rest of the disciples. They all said likewise. And while we might think, you know, we've been walking with the Lord a long time, all it takes is for the spirit of pride and the confidence in the flesh to get in there and to think, you know, I've heard of other people doing this, but I'll never do it. Ah, you've just set yourself up as the target, and Satan knows how to hit that target. The Lord Jesus warned him lovingly, caringly, and Simon Peter boasted when he should have been listening. Even his very name, Simon, it should mean that he's hearing what God has to say. But when we're so full of pride, we can't hear what the Lord is speaking. And so verses 29 through 31 of Mark chapter 14, step number one, boasting when he should have been listening. Step number two, you'll notice in verse 32 that they came to the place which is called or named Gethsemane. We mentioned that today. We're coming into the pressure points of the life of the Lord Jesus and his suffering for us. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. Verse 33, he took Peter, James, and John with him and began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And in verse 37 we read, and this is step number two, then he came and found them sleeping and said, now you'll notice he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? He'd become slothful, hadn't he? And the Lord warned them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing or ready, but the flesh is weak. And try as he may, the strength of the flesh, what quickly failed him, didn't it? You remember the good old hymn, we don't sing it as much as we used to, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone, the arm of flesh will fail you, you dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. In other words, stay alert in the battle. And Simon Peter, well, he was so alert that his eyes grew heavy. And as he tried to watch and pray, he fell asleep. Falling asleep is a very embarrassing thing. Some people think you're nodding in agreement the first time down, but it tends to multiply on you, and then you're a dead giveaway, aren't you? I'm just glad I'm standing up. That keeps me awake, although I know one preacher fell asleep while he was preaching, they said. Two preachers I know. I won't tell you their names. Two, falling asleep while you're standing up preaching. But I tell you, it's easy to fall asleep while you're sitting down praying, isn't it? And it causes us to say, look at our life. Are we alert in it? Are we watching? Because we have an enemy, an adversary, the devil who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so the Lord Jesus says, watch and pray. And when he found them sleeping, he addressed it to Simon. Could you not watch 1 hour? He went back and prayed again and came back another hour later, asleep again. The third time back, still sleeping, he said, it's enough. My betrayer is at hand. And the time was gone. And he woke them up and he said, you'll be awake now. In our spiritual life, all we have to do is think, you know, things are going pretty well. I believe I can put it in cruise control and just take a rest and just glide right in. Don't fall for it. When I read of some of the old preachers and writers who gave their life not only to prolific writing articles that would be ministry to God's people, to minister to their hearts, but others who had a constant on-the-go pace of itinerant ministry. I believe it was Harry Ironside who preached something like 760 times in 1 year. And that was when travel was difficult. And that's over twice a day when you work it all out. It's amazing, isn't it? I talked to one man. He said, you know, I've traveled so much this year, mostly by plane. He said, I figured out I've traveled throughout the whole year an average speed of 57 miles an hour. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, at least you can't sleep on those overseas flights, you understand. But when it comes to spiritual life, what are we doing? What are we accomplishing? Are we alert in it? Are we just kind of sleeping through this Christian life? It is time to wake up, as the book of Ephesians quotes from the Old Testament, awake, sleeper, and Christ will give you light. And so if we keep our eyes focused on Him, it is possible, isn't it, that He'll help us to stay alert in the Christian life. And so we see the second step downward, sleeping when he should have been praying. Now in verses 43 through 47, we come to the time when his betrayer, who was at hand, Judas Iscariot, addresses him with a mob. And we read in verse 43, and immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he had come, immediately he went up and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. How close can you come to the Lord and still not be saved? Close enough to kiss him and walk away, lost. In verse 47, we read Simon Peter's third step downward. And it tells us in Mark 14:47, and one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. He was fighting when he should have been trusting. It's easy, isn't it, to get caught up short and to think striking out and with hardly a moment's notice is the right reaction. It's not. The Lord Jesus had already warned them of what was to come, and it was a time when they should be trusting in the Lord. When you read this in the other Gospels, you read it like this, and they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And it was already too late. They didn't wait for the answer. The answer would come. They didn't wait. Simon Peter, he's the one that pulled his sword. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us what happened. John tells us who did it. And it was Simon Peter who took the sword, one of those two swords they had shown to the Lord earlier that night. And he swung his sword, and Malchus, the servant of the high priest, well, he must have ducked something like this. Simon Peter, I can't figure it out. If he was a fisherman and now a swordsman, he didn't quite have the right swing to it. He was going for his neck, and he ended up just taking off his ear. And the Lord, of course, it was one of those touches that I mentioned earlier. He took the ear, and he touched the ear of the servant Malchus, and he healed it immediately. Put his ear right back on. I don't know about you, but had I been Malchus, I believe I would have joined the other side. Simon Peter, with his bloody sword in his hand, fighting when he should have been trusting, the Lord Jesus said, put your sword back into its place. If you take up the sword, you'll die by the sword. Do you not know, he asked, that I could ask my Father and he would give me 12 legions of angels? You think of the angels crowding and pressing the portal of heaven, just waiting for just a look or a word from the Lord Jesus to come down and to destroy that mob and to set him free. And yet the Lord Jesus willingly was taken and led as a lamb to the slaughter. Willingly he went. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it back again. How is it that we think a rusty sword is going to fight the Lord's battles? How much better when Simon Peter picked up the right sword on the day of Pentecost, and three times the sword of the Spirit, quoting from the Word of God, brought about a harvest of souls that very first birthday of the church on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 were saved. Do you remember what it says in the book of Acts? And they were cut to the heart. And it was a hit dead center right into their heart, pricked by the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But here, Simon Peter, he's using the sword of the flesh, a rusty sword at that. And he says, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And before the answer ever came, he had already gone and struck out fighting when he should have been trusting. Well, from that point, we see how they took the Lord Jesus, as I mentioned, willingly being led. And in verse 53, we pick it up there, and we read, notice please, Mark 14:53, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. And in verse 54, we read the fourth step downward, but Peter followed him, and note this phrase, at a distance. Following the Lord Jesus, as he was led out as a lamb to the slaughter, had two of his followers follow him. That's one characteristic you find in the life of Simon Peter. Again and again in the life of the Lord Jesus, as Simon interacted with the Lord Jesus, we read how Simon Peter followed him. Followed him. That's what we are doing, isn't it? But sometimes as you follow him, we can start to lag behind. And this is the step that I'd like to mention that Simon Peter makes. It was a downward trend because no longer is he following in step and close to the Lord. But now he follows him, but a little different. John followed closely. Simon Peter followed at a distance. It's easy, isn't it? To start out the year or to start out the day. Doesn't matter where you're starting. But to start out following the Lord, staying close to him, like the lady who prayed, Lord, it's been a great day so far. No mistakes, no sin, no problems. But Lord, I'm going to need your help from now on because I'm getting ready to get out of bed. And I'm going to have to trust you to each step. You know, all it takes, isn't it, as a believer, to become distant from the Lord is just to skip one day of reading his word and of having prayer. Just one day. I'll catch up tonight. I'm busy this morning. I'll get back tonight and I'll read and catch up. And if you don't do it then, one day out of the word, here's my little saying. Someone gave it to me years ago. One day out of the word and you know it. 2 days out of the word, your family knows it. 3 days out of the word, everybody knows it. And it's true, isn't it? You look like you don't believe me. I know it by experience. I've done it. You've done it. Well, even the life of the Lord Jesus shows it. At a young age of 12 years old, when his family took him to Jerusalem for the feast, they left thinking he was in their crowd. They went a day's journey before they even realized he wasn't there. Have you had days like those? Well, they came back, and it says on the third day they found him. One day without him takes 3 days to catch up. And even catching up, you'll never regain the place or the blessing and the events that you could have been part of had you been staying close to the Lord. You know, a disciple is a disciplined person. A follower of the Lord has to follow him closely. The best way to follow him closely is to walk in the Word and spend time hearing what he has to say and then speaking from your heart in prayer, letting him know what is on your heart, speaking to others in fellowship with him and speaking to the lost. I like to give those four talks as good advice for a new believer. Four talks every day. Let God speak to you through his word. You speak to him through prayer. Speak to other believers in fellowship. And then speak to the lost about the Savior. Young man who trusted the Lord as his Savior, he used to call me. And he would say, I've got my three talks down. I'm looking for one person to talk to about the Savior today before my day's over. That's a good way, isn't it? But I find if you just skip one day spending time with the Lord, it's hard to get back You'll never get it back, but it's hard to even get back in step and close with the Lord. Don't let a day slip by without spending time in His Word. Listen, we are so blessed, aren't we, with so many spiritual helps for us, whether it's in print, the Bible's the best thing to do, but whether it's in print with Choice Gleanings or Daily Light or One Day at a Time by Brother William MacDonald, whatever it might be, listen to it on the radio. We're inundated with good ministry that's available at just the touch of a button or perhaps even the click of a mouse on a daily reminding basis, and then do your part to share it with someone else. And we see Simon Peter, he was following, but he was following at a distance. Right after I trusted the Lord as my Savior, we changed what we used to do. Instead of going for entertainment, we went to the Christian bookstore and hung out. And there we would find so many things that were encouraging as new believers. But one poster I remember as a new believer at the Christian bookstore was, "If you're not as close to the Lord as you used to be, who moved?" Isn't it good to know? You might drift away from Him, but He's always the same and always constant. If you are distant from the Lord right now, listen, it only takes one step. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Simon Peter, he was following, and he'd become distant in his walk. Look, if you will, now in verse 54. After reading, "But Peter followed him at a distance," you see where he went, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And what did he do there? Well, it's step number 5. "And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." Simon Peter, instead of following close, he was following at a distance. And now he takes this fifth step and he sits down. He's sitting down when he should be standing up. And as he sits down with the enemies of the Lord Jesus, right there in the courtyard of the high priest, they've started a fire, and he starts to enjoy the warmth of the fire. You know, a fire really means fellowship, doesn't it? Now, whether you go out to the campground and get some graham crackers and some marshmallows and some Hershey chocolate candy bars and have some s'mores, it still means fellowship. And in that particular case, it was fellowship, but you see that Simon Peter is sitting with a whole circle of the enemies of the Lord, and he's starting to get warm at the fire of the enemy. He's sitting down when he should be standing up. Now, he'd already gone into enemy territory. I don't think he should have been there, but he was there. And when you get in behind the lines of the enemy, the last thing you want to do is to try to blend in, but that's what he was doing. And that's what we do as believers. Whenever we become distant from the Lord, we start looking for fellowship that'll warm our hearts somewhere other than with the Lord's people. The separation that God has called us to is to be separated, first of all, unto Him. And naturally, what flows from that is to be separated from the world around us. He has set us apart for Himself. But sometimes if we grow distant from Him, then we start enjoying all the company around us. You know, it would do us well from time to time to just look around us and see the enjoyments of my life and the comforts that I enjoy. Where are they coming from? Whose shoulders am I rubbing with whenever I'm enjoying some of these great times of life? And if it's not in the company of saints, I'm talking about the warmth of fellowship, you understand. If it's not in the company of the saints, it may be because our hearts, being distant from Him, are enjoying a strange fire. Simon Peter, he was in dangerous territory. His heart was starting to slip away. He was trying to blend in with the world. You know, it won't work. We can't be comfortable in that situation. And so the Lord, He uses a very unique way of stirring Simon Peter's heart. He told him it would happen. And here it is, happening right before our eyes. Look, if you will, please, as we go a little bit further into this portion, slip all the way down to verse 66. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.'" Isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus having told Simon Peter what would happen, would use a servant girl to bring down a big burly fisherman like Simon Peter. But that's exactly what happened. When we are counting on our own strength, we're as weak can be. When we recognize our weakness, we're strong because we're strong in His strength. But without His strength, we're weaklings. Look at Samson. Look at the examples through the Word. And look at Simon Peter. And there, still by the fire, we see a little servant girl saying, "You were one of them. You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." And in verse 68, notice what happened. "But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed." Talk about using simple things, small things, weak things. A servant girl with a finger pointed right at Simon Peter, and he denied it. He was denying when he should have been owning. Now again, these steps that take us this far away can happen to us. It starts out with step number one, boasting when we should be listening and sleeping when we should be praying, fighting when we should be trusting, and following at a distance when we should stay close. Sitting when we should be standing will lead you to this next step. When someone asks you, aren't you a Christian? Denying when you should be owning. Now, I would think and I would trust that all of us would gladly say, "I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus." Well, that's one thing, isn't it? To say it with our words. But with our life, isn't it possible to blend in so much with the world that we deny the Lord by the way we live and the things that we do and the places we go? So that others would be even surprised and know that we are believers? Oh, these things ought not to be. Simon Peter was an example of how quick it can happen and how low we can go. And so he warns by his own life. He was denying when he should have been owning the Lord and owning up to his relationship with him. In verses 69 and 70, same situation. When Simon Peter went out on the porch, you can almost picture it in a dramatic form, can't you? The servant girl went around the other side, and right when he got out away from her, face to face with her again, and it says in verse 69, "And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.'" And in verse 70, "But he denied it again." You know, it gets easier, doesn't it? Time after time. To be drifting away, and it says, "And a little later," you know, he had gotten down to the bottom here, "and a little later," doesn't take long, "and a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.'" I like the old King James, "Your speech betrayeth thee," and that's exactly what was happening. He was a dead giveaway, wasn't he? Except the seventh step down, and we read in verse 71, "But he began to curse and to swear." Forget the Galilean accent. Cursing and swearing sounds the same in every language, doesn't it? And what a sad thing. He began to curse. He was cursing. Step number seven, when he should have been confessing, "I know the Lord. He's my Savior." And it tells us in verse 71, "But he began to curse and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.'" And in verse 72, again, a second time, "The rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.'" And we have the last statement in verse chapter 14, verse 72, at the end it says, "And when he thought about it, he wept." Luke 22:61 tells it this way. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and he wept. What do you do at a time like that? A little boy, all dressed up for church Sunday school meetings, was told by his mother, "Now, don't get dirty, you're all clean. I'm just going to go get everything ready, get my makeup on, and you sit right here on the porch. Don't go mess out in the yard. Don't go anywhere, you'll get muddy." And he waited, and it seemed like an eternity, and he saw a big mud puddle right out front. And he went out there, and no sign of his mother, so he thought, "Well, I'll just jump across the mud puddle. No problem, no mud, no mom." Tried it again, perfectly. Then he thought, "I could jump this backwards." And he did that, and when he jumped backwards and he hit, his feet went right out from under him, right face down in the mud puddle. And when he looked up, 2 feet, his mom's. And he looked up at her, and she said, "What are you going to do now? A muddy mess." His answer was, "I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up." Every one of us have the potential, don't we, to make a complete failure and a flop this year. The diet plan, I've already blown it. I feel better just getting that off my chest. The exercise plan, I probably won't do it. But to resolve to say, "I'm going to walk close to the Lord," this is what He wants for you. How much do we want it? Enough to take a lesson from Simon Peter and those 7 steps downward? Let me tell you again, avoid the first one and you'll miss all of the rest of the 6. Boasting when he should have been listening, you trust in the Lord. Don't count on your own strength. Sleeping when he should have been praying, why not say, "Lord, if I have to stand up to read my Bible and pray, I'm going to do that." Fighting when he should have been trusting. You know, we're talking a lot about self-preservation and protection these days. Who do you really trust to keep you safe? Our trust is in the Lord. Following at a distance when he should have been staying close to the Lord. Don't let anything come in your way. You put him first and give him first place. Denying when he should have been owning, and cursing when he should have been confessing. May the Lord keep us from taking the wrong step this year and help us to walk with the Lord in the light of his word and enjoy fellowship with him and with one another. I trust this will be helpful. If it's not tonight, keep your notes. You're going to need them somewhere along the way. It's part of the human experience. But isn't it good? It's all been covered for us in the life of Simon Peter. Now, Brother Tom Taylor said, all these Christians who compare themselves to being like Simon Peter, he warned us, he said, if you're going to be like Simon Peter and claim you're like Simon Peter, he says, be like him on the day of Pentecost when he preached one message and 3,000 were saved. And that's true. But we can learn some lessons from the life of Simon Peter, even if it's what not to do. We don't want to fall. We want to walk and stand steadfastly for his glory and honor. Shall we pray? Our Father, as we bow in your presence once again, we thank and praise you for your wonderful word. It not only has shown us the Savior and our need for his salvation, but it also shows us his protection and the preservation of our testimony and life. Lord, you're the one who can keep us from falling and present us faultless before your throne. We pray that we would cooperate and be careful to trust in you and to listen to your word and to stay alert in our spiritual lives, to own him in every place we go, and to rely upon you by your Spirit to keep us from going the wrong direction. Lord, we pray for the testimony of this assembly, that it will continue to shine brightly till the Lord Jesus comes. And we give you our thanks for our times together in your word today. We ask your blessing as we part in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.